Although rebels and anti-government protesters have seized many cities in Libya and Colonel Muammar al-Gaddafi's options are becoming increasingly limited, the situation remains dangerous and the final outcome is still uncertain. We are joined now by New York Times reporter Karim Fahim, who is in Benghazi. Welcome back to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a sense of what's happening in the major cities in Libya at this moment? Is Tripoli the only major holdout so far?
For Muammar Gaddafi, no. He has a stronghold in the city of Sirte, which is on the Gulf of Sirte, off the Mediterranean, and he has loyalty from people in other cities in central Libya. The anti-government forces have taken a number of cities in the east, and there seems to be a contest for a number of cities, especially along the northern coast in the west.
Now, no matter
today, we had news that. Oh, sorry.
No, go. Continue.
I said today we had news that that he is of attacks by forces loyal to the government on some of the cities in the east, airstrikes on a location south of Benghazi and another city further south on military sites, and special forces, government special forces, retaking an oil field as well. So the situation is fairly fluid.
Now, no matter how oppressive the dictator or the king or whatever, there are always some people who continue to support to the bitter end. Who are the people who continue to support Gaddafi?
You know, it's a little hard to say at this point. I mean, there are people who are members of the tribe he belongs to. There are people who are who benefited from his regime over the years. There are other people in towns that he sort of showered favors on, and so there were a variety of ways that he drew loyalty in different parts of the country. The East has traditionally been over the last few decades sort of there have been seats of resistance there, and so those were the first to rise up in the last week.
Although Gaddafi told the BBC today that all my people love me, the former justice minister Mustafa Abdel Jalil, who resigned from the Gaddafi government only a week ago, told Al Jazeera television on Saturday that he's in charge of a transitional government. Are the people in Libya aware of that?
Yeah, there seems to be some confusion about the leadership of the anti-government protesters. Mustafa Abdel Jalil, as you said, declared that he was in charge of this provisional government, I believe on Saturday. Then on Sunday, members of the sort of ruling coalition in the sort of rebel seat of Benghazi said there was no interim government, but rather there was a national council that sort of drew on city councils, as they called the liberated city councils. But they didn't announce any sort of membership in that national council, and their only move was to announce that it had a spokesperson. So I think any sort of rebel leadership is still forming. That includes any military leadership. But I understand that the former justice minister does have a fairly well-known profile in the country. So I think people do know who he is, and a lot of people do watch Al Jazeera. And actually, Al Jazeera seems to be where a lot of people in Libya are getting their news now.
Because the official television only shows pro-Gaddafi demonstrators. But who's running day-to-day operations in cities like Benghazi and Misurata, the country's third largest city?
In Benghazi, a number of committees have been formed by the coalition of rebel groups. that manage, you know, there's sort of a youth and sports committee, and there are committees that manage the banks, and so they've organized themselves fairly quickly, and you know, shops opened here in fairly short order, you know, people here, you know, it may be a sense of satisfaction with the uprising, but people say that the city looks better than it had in a long time. And in other cities in rebel control, similar councils are managing day-to-day affairs. I don't know how long those councils can operate without some sort of central government assisting them, but for now, that's how they're managing.
Didn't Gaddafi's forces try to take back Misurata over the weekend? What happened there?
There have been a number of attacks by the government forces on Misurata and Zawiya and other places in the west. Today, we heard that there was shelling of Misurata, I gather by artillery, although it's a little unclear. Yesterday, we heard that helicopters attacked the city, and the rebels, at least, are saying that they shot down either a helicopter or an airplane. I believe it's a helicopter. So the government is trying quite hard to retake those areas that are closer to Tripoli, and the airstrikes today indicates they are not willing to yield on the cities in the east either. Although the sort of targeting of military bases and an ammunition depot might suggest a bit of fear that the eastern rebels are planning some sort of a counteroffensive. There's been a sort of long rumored. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We've been waiting for days and speaking to military leaders to get a sense of their plans to attack the capital, to attack Tripoli. They've indicated that some sort of a force was moving towards Tripoli. Various senior military officers have put the number of volunteers at 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 strong, but we don't have any clear indication at the moment that any such force has reached the capital, and it's actually a pretty difficult thing to do. The road to the capital is blocked by the city of Sirte, which again is a government stronghold, any soldiers sort of moving west would have to travel through the desert, which is a fairly arduous journey, I'm told.
A lot of the military has defected to the rebels, but there are still the mercenaries who are continue to be paid by Gaddafi. So I guess this will continue for a while. Has it been difficult to operate as a journalist in the country?
The sort of major problem is that many parts of the country are a no-go zone. Luckily, we have another correspondent, David Kirkpatrick, who flew into Tripoli as part of this government-sanctioned tour for journalists, which has actually turned out to be more revealing than people expected it would be. And there are other annoying impediments. The internet has been spotty, although it is starting to come back in Benghazi, and it's the cell phone networks are overstretched, and so it's very hard to sort of call people.
Karim, we have to leave it there, unfortunately, but thank you so much for talking with Karim Fahim. He is a New York Times reporter in Benghazi.